May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 590. Now for a song of praise to our Redeemer God, whose glorious works and ways proclaim his love abroad. Ye prodigals, lift up your voice, and let us all in him rejoice. Hymn number 590, we'll sing to verse 4 and hope to sing the remaining verses as our middle hymn.
Thank you.
our reading, two portions. Firstly, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and then part of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our second reading is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, and commencing to read at verse 36. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to our souls, and now help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, in thy goodness, Lord, and mercy, thou hast brought us at the evening hour into thy courts to worship thee. Oh, we pray that we may be under the sacred and blessed influence of thy Holy Spirit, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, how we need thee to empty us of self and of this world, and all that is grieving to thee. But oh, how we need thee to come and make one with us this evening, that thy sweet and sacred presence may be known and sweetly felt. Oh, may thy house be to us the house of God and the gateway to heaven. And, O Lord, may we be favoured like those that journeyed to Emmaus when thou didst draw near and go with them. And, oh, may our prayer be there as theirs was. Abide with us. For it is toward evening, the day is far spent. And, O Lord, may we be favoured to hear thy voice. Oh, we would pray with the hymn writer, speak and let thy servants hear. And, O Lord, may we be favoured like those in the Mount of Transfiguration, when they saw no man save Jesus only. But, O Lord, we come as sinners. We would come pleading the precious name and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. And, oh, may we come, Lord, as penitent sinners, truly weeping as the dear woman we have read of, over our sin and after thee. Oh, we would come begging and pleading for mercy. May the prayer of the dear hymn writer be our fervent petition. And oh, that we may come pleading for that mercy which only thou canst give. Mercy through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. And O Lord, how we need thee to wash us and to make us white in the blood of the Lamb. May we ever be as true repenting sinners, weeping and mourning over our sin and after thee. Who come to each sin-sick soul this night, we pray thou wilt seal pardon and peace, that thy dear children might rejoice in thee. Oh, we pray thou wilt suit thy word to every sinner's case. May none be left out or forgotten, dear Lord. May the seekers be finders. May those that as yet know thee not be brought to know thee from this very hour. This may be the appointed time not to propose but call by grace. May there be many like Lydia of old, whose heart the Lord opened, that she might attend unto those things spoken of Paul. Oh, may many hearts be open, we do beseech thee. We pray that thou wilt bring back prodigals. For Lord, many have forsaken Zion's ways. May there yet be a blessed return. May there be that real appetite given. Oh, may there be a true hunger and thirst in these dark and solemn days for the truth as it is in Jesus. Grant us each that right exercise of soul, that we might be right for time and for eternity. That we may have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people, and that we may be given that gracious discernment, Lord, to discern the truth as it is in Jesus. And oh, to make our calling and election sure. Oh, do bless us with the grain of living faith, Lord, to believe, and take away all our unbelief. Help us to watch and to be sober, and to hope to the end, for the glory that shall be revealed unto us at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we seek for heavenly guidance and wisdom in all things. Oh, thou knowest the foolishness of our heart, Lord, and the need of that wisdom that cometh from above. And we pray that thou wilt soften each of our hearts, Lord. Knowest how left to ourselves hardness and rebelliousness can creep in. But oh, that thou wouldst make us tender and humbled under thy mighty hand, that we may be exalted in due time. And oh, do bring to fruition the exercise of thy people that are real. And Lord, do dry up in us all that that's only flesh. And oh, that thou wouldst fulfil thy sweet promises. We would plead them before thee. Thou wilt supply the every need of thy people, both in body and in soul. Who bless the dear children, dear Lord, and remember them. Remember, Lord, them for good, and bless them with the riches of thy grace well in early years. May they be kept from this world and all its snares and attractions, and kept, Lord, from the dangers and snares there are that Satan would put in the way. And may they follow on to know the Lord. And may, Lord, the truths taught them in the Sabbath school abide in their hearts. And oh, may there be raised up a seed yet to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessing. We thank thee, dear Lord, for each of the dear young ones, the dear young people. Do guide them, direct them, go before them, Lord. And may they see thy hand working wondrously for them and in them. And oh, may they look to thee for everything. Grant, Lord, we pray, that longing in their hearts to know and to do thy will, and to be as obedient children. We pray that thou wilt help the dear parents and grant all needed wisdom, Lord, and grace in the bringing up of their offspring. We thank thee for the dear babe that thou hast brought into the earth in the past week. Do bless her, and if it be thy will, and raise her up to be a pillar in Zion. For, Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Do bless the dear parents and each of those dear souls that carry offspring, Lord. We pray that thou wilt grant safe deliverance at the appointed time. Remember those that are aged and infirmed, and many that feel much the mud wall cottage shake. May they be assured, Lord, from heaven, that it is well with them. And may we each be prepared and be ready, waiting for thy coming. For, Lord, we know not what a day or a moment or an hour will bring forth. Oh, that thou wouldst fit us and prepare us to stand before thy face. May we be found sheltering in thy wounded side, till all the dangers of life and of death be overpassed. Remember all that need thee, and all in trouble and all in distress, and those that long for thee to set them free from the bondage of sin and Satan and unbelief. May there be those loose, Lord, that they may tell the king's household what great things thou hast done for them. Lord, the powers, may thy constraining love yet constrain others to enter while there's room. For thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. Do add to the church here and our own church at home precious souls yet, if it would please them. And may there yet be the sound of an abundance of rain. Help thy dear servants and grant them gracious liberty in the preaching of the word. And oh, remember those in much weakness, Lord, and those that feel much their age now. Oh, do come and crown their journeys here. And may they hear thee say, come in, thou good and faithful servant. And oh, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And bring the nation to repentance, Lord, and put thy fear and grace in our leaders and rulers. and may the prayers of thy people yet be heard for our land, that it may be once again a nation that fears thee, and that righteousness might reign. And may thy grace and fear be in our leaders, Lord, and in our Queen and the royal family, that they may be brought to set a right example to this nation. Lord, who put down all the enemies of the truth, and remember thy persecuted ones and those displaced by war and conflict, we beg of thee that there may be many brought to turn to thee, the only true God. Help the deacons and bless them here, and give them wisdom and grace. Bless the hymns they give out, and may there be that sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. May a precious Jesus have the preeminence this night. May we have a heart to truly praise his holy name. And oh, may thy word be applied with divine power, though sown in weakness, be raised in power. Bless those away at this time, and be with them. May they have a special time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and be blessed in body, soul and mind. Make up now in giving where we fail in asking. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 590, commencing at verse 5. Alas, what can I do? I starving am for want. I'll to my father go and tell him my complaint. I'll tell him too how base I am, not worthy to be called his son. Hymn 590, verse 5.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. It was only Boaz that could begin to speak such a sacred word to dear Ruth. And it is only the dear Lord Jesus that can speak such a word as this to needy sinners in 2016. And when he spoke this word to her, in it was everything she would need. And as the Lord Jesus speaks such a word to the child of God today, it will be everything that you need, both for time and for eternity. Now, those who are with us this morning will know I looked at a few of the steps that the Lord wonderfully brought Ruth through in leaving Moab, bringing her among his people, and how she was brought to glean in the field of Boaz, and then finally into the threshing floor to lie at Boaz's feet, and then to hear him speak this beautiful word. My great concern is, as we venture with it once more, the Holy Spirit will speak it to each of us. And then we looked in conclusion, first of all, at that word and now, and then how he claimed her as his beloved daughter. And then finally, that fear not, which was to calm her troubled breast. But I want us help to look at the rest of the text this evening. And what does Boaz say to her? I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Oh, what a precious word. The Lord knew what dear Ruth needed. And he alone could supply it through Boaz. And the Lord knows in your poor heart and mine what we require before we even ask or even think. But this is a wonderful word of promise. But as we look at it, I want to begin, what are your requirements and what are mine? Well, the world has its requirements, doesn't it? It requires this, it requires that. It's ever demanding. But you know, there are those vital requirements that Ruth had, and that you and I, if we are like Ruth and have the religion that she has had given to her by the Lord, we shall have requirements that only the Lord can give. And the wonderful mercy was, like with dear Ruth, and far greater so with us, that all that she required, Boaz was able to give it. There was that wonderful store that the Lord had blessed Boaz with, that he could provide. And I thought it was a wonderful confirmation to me. We should sing that beautiful hymn this morning, which you remember closed, didn't it, each verse with, "The Lord will provide." He provides for the requirements of his dear people. And he gives those requirements to them. You think of what we read in the case of the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. She was a black, vile sinner, and she knew it before the Lord. She required pardon of all those sins that troubled her. What about you and what about me? The wonderful mercy with that dear woman was that she went to the right place for her to be satisfied with that requirement she needed. Simon couldn't give it to her, could he? No man could. Those of you tonight and one's own poor heart that are so often sick because of sin, and we feel the plague as the hymn writer did within, we require his mercy, don't we? We require pardon. And here the Lord promised through Boaz to Ruth this beautiful word, "I will do to thee all that thou requirest." And you look how the Lord Jesus gave it to that dear woman. She didn't think herself anything, did she? One thing she knew was the blackness and vileness and sin there was within her. She was truly taught it by the blessed Holy Spirit. And she comes to one in the dear Saviour himself who could give her all that she required. No other can. Oh, that he would seal into each of our souls that sweet pardon. And what will flow from it? Peace that passeth all understanding. He could well say to the dear woman, couldn't he, those beautiful words as she was to go from him. He said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace." He spoke the same words in the following chapter, in chapter 8, to the dear woman with the issue of blood, didn't he? "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Oh, what a happy soul you be tonight if the Lord spoke that like he did to the dear woman. "Thy sin be forgiven." She could well go in peace, couldn't she? The only way to real peace is through the pardoning love and precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. And there may be one sin-sick soul tonight. The Lord knows your requirements, and they're all within. You require that pardon there, that peace there, which no man can give, and it's a peace that passeth all understanding. I love that word, and I often quote it, but it's so real to me, what dear Mr. Hart said, when his pardon is signed, and his peace is procured. Beautiful word, really, when his pardon is signed. Have you got it signed? And have I? Well, poor soul, we would commit you to this word which the Holy Spirit has left on record. For sin-sick sinners. And Ruth knew what it was to be a sin-sick sinner. She needed mercy, she needed to be washed, she needed to be cleansed. And what does the Holy Spirit say? And may the Lord whisper it to your heart and mine, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Not some of it. Seemed very sweet to me, as I said this morning, it had been with me a few days, this word. And that word all, Satan may be suggesting to one soul here tonight, well, you know, your case is too hard, it's too difficult, it's too mysterious, and you look at it all, Lord, am I one of thy children? Well, this word comes down to each of the needy children of God, whatever they may be in, whatever they require, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, not some of it, all that thou requirest. Now, what are our requirements tonight? Let us look at a few. Well, we start with that beautiful case of the dear woman. You see, she needed pardon. She required it. She so needed it. Such was her urgent, pressing case. And the Lord knew how to give it to her, didn't he? But oh, you look where he brought her. To his dear feet. We did say this morning concerning Ruth, and you'll find it on a few occasions through this sacred book, where she was brought to fall at the feet of Boaz, both in the gleaning field, in the thrashing floor, and to be at his dear feet. Do you desire to be there? That's where the Lord brought. In chapter 8 of Luke, we read the case of the Mad Gadarene legion. You look how he required the Lord. How hard he'd been and rebellious, and no man could tame him, dwelling among the dead. His requirements were great, weren't they? Just like Ruth was here. Remember, she was in a country that she knew not of before. The Lord, as we sung in the hymn, had brought her out like he did the prodigal, to return to, with Naomi, to the people of God. And oh, the great need, you see, of legion. He required the Lord to cast out that legion of devils in him. And only the Lord Jesus could. No man could. No man could tame him. But what did the Lord do? He put them all out. And he brings the dear man to his dear feet. The feet of Jesus. He sat at the feet of Jesus. I think it's a beautiful word, isn't it? Clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And you look how the Lord did everything that dear man required. Now, I don't know what your requirements are tonight, poor soul. It may be it's in a providential way. But the Lord knows. When we read of some of the old saints, and some of us can look back in our early days and how the need in providence was great, But the Lord gave us all that we required, not what we wanted, but what we really required, what we really needed. And it may be in some certain matter why the Lord's brought me here with this word today, is because your need is such. You require him to appear, and you cannot go on without him. And what does he say to this soul? I will do all that thou requirest. What a promise it is, isn't it? And poor soul, you can plead that before the Lord. Lord, thou didst say thou would do it. And he's able, you see. We sing in the hymn, an able, willing Saviour too. And look how willing Boaz was to do this for Ruth. All that she required. He was to provide it, whether it was in her pathway or in her soul's experience. The heavenly Boaz can grant it. But then it may be your requirement is you require healing. And when we speak about healing, I don't mean just a body, though that's part of it. Healing in our souls. I often think of that couplet of the hymn where the hymn writer said, heal the festering sores of sin and make us young again. And oh, you look at the case of the dear woman with the issue of blood in chapter 8 of Luke. How she required healing in her body. It wasn't an affliction she'd had just overnight or one day or a week or so. 12 years she'd been labouring under it. And there's no doubt it brought her weaker and weaker every day. But there was one, you know, that could satisfy her requirement. And the Lord gave her faith, firstly, to look to him. Secondly, faith to believe that he would grant it. And thirdly, faith to press through all the crowds that stood between her and the Saviour. Such was her faith, to believe he would grant her that requirement she so needed of healing. And you know, the Lord gave her double, really. Not only did he heal her in her body, as soon as she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. And she believed the Lord would grant it. But too, he healed her in her soul. As I said earlier, he sent her away with peace, which meant pardon had been signed. Oh, she could well go in peace. And those of you that may have, and we think of many, you know, of the Lord's dear children, are in walking in paths of affliction now. I will do to thee all that thou requirest in healing, both in body, in soul, and in mind. You know, many of the Lord's dear people over the years have been brought into such dark and bitter places that it's even affected their minds. We think of it today, there are those still, you know. But the Lord can heal them. 'Tis he that heals thy sicknesses and makes thee young again. But then there's a requirement you may have for help from the Lord. Think of the dear woman that came, and she got a heavy load, didn't she? And it may be you need the Lord. It may you have something before you, maybe in the coming week or anticipate in the days to come if you're spared, and the mountains, the troubles that perplex the child of God. But you think of this beautiful word, when you need, like that dear woman did, help, and only the Lord could give it. But look how low she had to sink. I've often felt, and I may have mentioned it here, you know, how low that dear woman had to come to say, Lord, help me. She got this great cross upon her of her daughter. And Satan trying to destroy her. And they were bound up together. And she comes to the Lord Jesus. The disciples said, send her away, for she crieth after us. Oh, how even those that you would have thought would have done all they could to encourage her and help her, they said, send her away. Something to sink her lower, you see. We sing in the hymn, you'll never think you're sunk too low if Jesus on you pity show. But you know our poor flesh won't like that. He doesn't like going down. But then we find the dear Saviour. He was silent. He uttered not a word. And oh, how hard that is to the child of God when the Lord is silent. Your requirements are so great, and yet the Lord is silent in them. This will try your faith. This will bring you low. But what does he say? I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And you look how he sent that help to that dear woman and healed her daughter, restored her, and blessed the dear woman. Oh, he did. And it may be tonight you need the Lord to help you in a certain matter. Your requirement is, Lord, do help me. Do undertake for me. You know, some beautiful prayers, isn't there, in the Word of God for helpless sinners. Lord, help me. And how he's promised to help his dear people. We read, didn't we, this morning in conclusion, those beautiful words in Isaiah 41. Where he uttered those sweet words to them that need help, whether it be in providence or in your soul. He says, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will help thee. We sing in the hymn, don't we, when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And then, of course, later, as I read, as we sat down this morning, those sacred words, fear not, I will help thee. You know, these sacred promises, and such as in our text, a comprehensive text, they cover everything the child of God will need, both for time and eternity. And then he goes further, doesn't he? Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh, that the Lord would grant that requirement of help. It may be help to pray, help to press on, help to look to the Lord, help in times of great distress. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And everything you say you need is found in the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, it is. Let me just remind you a few things here. First of all, that fullness there is in him. Oh, I love that first chapter of Paul to the Colossians. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And Ruth was to draw from the fullness there was in Boaz. And the sinner in 2016 can draw from that blessed fullness there is in the dear Redeemer to supply their need, to satisfy all their requirements. Oh, yes. But then we think too of that blessed storehouse in heaven. We read in Matthew 6, didn't we? I think that's a sacred word that dropped from the Saviour's lips. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows what you require tonight. He knows the requirements of your body. He knows the requirements in your circumstances. He knows the requirements in your never-dying soul. Before you even ask or even think, but poor soul, that doesn't mean to say, as the fatalist and the professor of religion, and sit back and they say, well, the Lord knows our requirements and we have to leave it there. But the real exercised child of God will give him no rest. Do you think of Jacob? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And you look how the Lord appeared for him and blessed him there. And where was he? In the depths of trouble, faced with Esau's 400 men against him. But the Lord knew his requirements. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And the Lord granted it to him, didn't he? And you look how he blessed him there and appeared for him. And he didn't have to lift one finger in that battle against Esau. All that he required, the Lord was to grant. And then you think of thinking of this wonderful storehouse there is in heaven for sinners. Was it not Dr. Hawker that said, you know, it had never run dry. It ever there to supply the need of the child of God. And you think of Joseph, well, on this blessed theme of the fullness there is in the Lord. You think of Joseph. He had the keys of all the storehouses in Egypt. Whatever the people had need of, what did they have to do? There's a beautiful word there, you know. Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. Go unto the heavenly Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And there may be those that require direction. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, you know. The Lord is the director of his dear people. He directs their path, their steps. And those of you that may be exercised concerning the sacred ordinance of the Lord's house, you see, he can give you exactly what you need. We went to the funeral the other day of a dear friend, one of the deacons at Staplehurst, and I've known for many years, and I didn't realise until at the funeral it was brought out how the Lord had used this poor sinner. I wept as the dear servant of God spoke of it. You know, the chapel we went to closed, and he ventured into Staplehurst Chapel, him and his dear wife, and And I read in this second chapter of Ruth. And then during the discourse, I forget what text I had now, but I spoke of what we mentioned this morning, where the Lord said, go not to glean in any other field. And you know, that dear man never forgot that, you know. He went back to it times in times of trouble, and he thought, well, I should cannot endure this trouble, but go not to glean in any other field. And then when he was so exercised for 24 years concerning joining the church. And I went on the second Sunday of August, I think it was 1996 or thereabouts, and the Lord gave me that beautiful word to speak from in the book of Deuteronomy, what Moses said to Joshua concerning leading the children of Israel. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And you know, the dear man had come up that Lord's day. Lord, give me a final word to go with. Such great was the exercise. And he said, when I read the text, it went right into his soul. And the Lord wonderfully constrained him to go and see the pastor and regarding it. And he was about to go on holiday, and he was so troubled about his right to go away with all this exercise on him. But he ventured up into Essex and went to Mount Bewers, pleading the Lord had confirmed him. What he'd done was of the Lord in venturing forth. And those words kept following. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. And that was with him as he went into the sanctuary. And the dear servant of God preached from those very words, suffer it to be so now. And oh, the dear man was so immersed, you see, in the blessing of the Lord. The Lord had granted him all that he required. And he can give that to you, poor soul. Think of what our text says, and it's not my word or my choice or anything to do with me as we bring it. The Lord dropped it into my heart. I will do to thee. It's personal, you see. It was personal to Ruth. It'll be personal to the child of God. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. In sweet direction, in sweet counselling, in confirming. You know, we need divine confirmation, don't we, continually. The Lord confirming the word. You know, if I often feel in one's own heart, I'll leave the other with you, but if the Lord gives me a word, you know, even to take as a text to bring before the Lord's people, I so often beg the Lord to confirm it. And so many times I've got to the house of God and the first hymn's right on the text. And you know, it's ever so confirming. I felt the dear brother gave out this morning. That was so confirming. The Lord will provide. And you go back to Abraham, when the Lord wonderfully provided that ram caught in the thicket. All that Abraham and Isaac required, the Lord gave it to them. Oh, he did. Is anything too hard for the Lord to die? Well, poor soul, there's nothing that's too hard for him. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know thou art a virtuous woman. Now, there may be many things, I've only just hinted a few things this evening, which we require. But you think of it regarding your own soul, your own pathway. It's not a word that will return void, you know. There's many of our words that we speak return void, aren't they? But what the Lord speaks, and that's a beautiful promise, what he speaks will never return void, but it shall accomplish that which he pleased, and shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. And that word will stand, you see, and when the Lord gives you a sweet promise, poor soul, you've got something to cling hold of, and faith will embrace it. And may faith be given to each of us tonight to embrace this word. Faith will. I don't mean embrace it in our natural carnal minds, but faith in the soul will embrace the word, and it can rest on the word. Here was a word that Ruth could rest on, and the Lord, you know, if you read the following chapter, wonderfully fulfilled it. And how she became his bride. And how the Lord blessed them together. And through that blessing, you know, Christ was to be born, that blessed lineage of Christ. What did the dear women say at the birth of Obed? And may the Lord speak it to us here this evening. And it's a beautiful word, you know, when that little babe was born. I thought about it this morning with the dear babe here, just born, you see. When he was born, those dear women, and I must be brief, but these dear women, you know, in the city, they got wonderful discernment, which I want to come to in a moment. There was this little babe, Obed, born to Ruth. The fruit of her womb from Boaz. And what did they say? He shall be to thee. This is what they spoke to Naomi. He shall be to thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And you know, that was not just spoken concerning Obed. That's a blessed word that concerning the dear Lord Jesus to the poor needy sinner, he shall be to thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And the Lord wonderfully fulfilled it in Naomi. Oh, he did. With all what she'd been through. But I just want to have a brief word concerning this latter part. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. There may be one poor soul saying tonight, oh, well, there's no virtue in me. And there isn't by nature in us, is there? But you know, really, those in the city, when Ruth returned with Naomi, were given gracious discernment, you know. They could discern in Ruth there were some wonderful virtues that were not in man by nature. There was the virtue of real love. Love to the Lord, love to his people, love to the dear Lord Jesus, and this virtue of love was seen. We know we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And they discerned it in the city that this dear soul that was brought up in Moab among the gods and wickedness there, there was something in her that was virtuous. The virtues of grace were there. And it was to be seen. You know, there are a few in Zion that watch for souls, and they watch to see this virtue flow out. And the Lord will give it. The discernment there was in those few in the gate of the city, for all the city, the margin says, of the gate of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. It was detected, you see. It was seen. And then the virtues of faith were seen in her. And then too, the virtue of humility. It was seen in her. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. And they discern this, you see. When we think, and I was thinking of years ago of a dear man that looked at a little girl as he went to preach at one of the chapels, you know, and that little girl played by the fireside, and he looked at her and he said to the dear mother, he said, you want to look after that little girl, there's something in her that's real. And you know, this was to be manifested as she grew up. And she was to grow up to be a faithful member of the Church of God. And she endured to the end. Virtues of grace were manifested in her as a child. There was some good thing in her heart toward the Lord God of Israel. What do we read in the book of Proverbs? And we read it at the wedding earlier this year. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And that's the word of God has said, a virtuous woman. But there are virtuous men, of course, that bear virtue of God's anointing for the ministry, anointing for the diaconate, anointing for church membership, and so on. It's a wonderful thing, this virtue, you see. Add to your faith, the apostle said, virtue. Well, the time's gone, I must leave it, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this precious word to us. If nothing, I preach it to myself today, the great need of it. And may, if nothing that I've rambled round today be applied, may this text be so applied by the Holy Spirit in your soul and mine. And I'll read it in conclusion. And the glory and benefit and profit from it belongs to the Lord. And now, my daughter, or my son, we may say, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And this is what the Lord has said, not what I've said or any man. And may it be so concerning each of us. And may we prove the preciousness and reality of it. And in conclusion, may we plead this before the Lord, what he has said, because what he has said will be fulfilled.
Collections last Lord's Day were £740, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening to be addressed by Mr. Field. Mr. Gerald Buss will, God willing, preach at our Thanksgiving services next Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and collections will be taken for the Oakington Building Repair Fund. And Mr. Buss will also preach, God willing, next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And will you please remember that the evening service next Lord's Day will be at 6 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 566. Ye famishing, naked and poor, distressed, tormented, forlorn, in Christ is a suitable store for all that unto him will come. He's bread, and the bread of life too, well suited the hungry to fill, nor one that unto him shall go, but what will approve the bread well. Hymn 566.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do pardon and forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do come over the poverty of our poor feebleties. Do bless thy word to our never-dying souls. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the boys. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.